morning,
it's
everyone.
Pretty empty out there.
Morning.
Say louder, Lisa.
We're somewhat diminished, aren't we? More and more here as we see this pandemic continue on its path. But we're thankful today, just like we sang there, that God's word is still standing firm. And the one who wrote that word, Almighty God, is still standing firm. So I greet you in his name this morning, as long as we're able to meet and do our best. And thank you for wearing your masks. I just want to tell you that I can't when I have this thing on. But we appreciate that you're willing to do that we can still continue to have a public service. But I just want to welcome you and thank you today for your attendance and pray that you'll be blessed today in our service. So let's stand this morning, and we're going to invoke God's blessing together at this time, and then the choir is going to give us another selection here. Well, actually, we're going to stand and sing first before we invoke God's blessing. But we're going to sing today. Today, the theme of our service today is Veterans Day, and so we have a patriotic theme. And once again, God's blessed us with a wonderful nation, especially the fact that we have a constitution that guarantees us liberties. And that is under attack today, but we're going to continue to trust God that he'll see us through these things. So let's stand this morning. We're going to sing the national anthem today. It's on the screen today for you as well.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we
application. Our Father in heaven, Almighty God, we come to you today and to the foot of your cross and the foot of your throne, acknowledging today, Lord, that in and of ourselves we are insufficient to do anything. But by your grace and by your benevolence, Lord, all things are possible. And we thank you today as we celebrate and remember those that have served in the military that protects the Constitution of this nation, Lord, that you have established and ordained. We pray today, Father, that you would forgive us as a nation and that you would restore us to a right perspective as to who you are and how we operate with you today, O Lord. Now, Lord, we thank you also today for all that have come through these doors. May they feel welcome. And may, Lord, there be some good things that take place here as we open your word. We know today, Lord, we cannot stand on our own human flesh or endeavor, but we stand firmly today in your grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit applied through the word of God. And we ask today, Lord, that you would change us and transform us today through the preaching of the word. Now, Lord, we notice this morning there are many empty seats, lots of people that are not here. We understand, Lord, again, that we suffer from some significant situations today in our nation, especially the COVID. And Lord, there's many thoughts about that, but we realize, however we want to land on it, Lord, that it is something that is being used as a test. And Lord, we'll all be tested today as to how we respond towards you. That's the critical thing. But we do pray for many that are ill today, Lord, and others of our number and of our community. And we always want to remember our community that may be in the bonds of grief, that may be struggling today, maybe a fight in the home, all kinds of things, Lord, and under the attack of Satan, that you would just bind his hands. And yet, Lord, if someone in our community is wondering, should I go or not, let them come, Lord, and sit under the teaching of the Word of God. So we know, Lord, in this broken world, many are hurting. We pray today that you'd be the God of all comfort and conviction today, Lord, that we'd stay on track with you. And we're just going to ask now, Lord, you bless our service, and we're going to give you the glory and praise in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Thanks.
Well, again, greetings to each and every one in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, that's an interesting song because every one of us today probably is struggling with something or have struggled with something this week that could cause us to get very discouraged. But, you know, in spite of all those things, Jesus is still wonderful. So we come today on that basis. He's still in control. And I know one thing, he tenderly cares about each and every one of us today. Well, as the choir comes down, if you have your bulletins, I just want to go over a few things quickly for the week ahead and also be aware. We do have some people this morning that have been exposed. They're not here, obviously. They're quarantined. Remember to pray for folks that are having difficulties with the issues. But tonight, Lord willing, at 6 o'clock is our evening service. We're going to continue on with a message, again, out of the book of Daniel. And about the future, a look into the future and what yet is to come and God's prophetic timetable. So you won't want to miss that if you're able. And then choir practice following that. There is a change on the next thing here on the right-hand side of your sheet in the bulletin. And women's Bible study is canceled for this coming Saturday. Again, who leads that is under quarantine right now. And that will be rescheduled at least as of this time on December 5th. At the normal time. And again, you see the instructions there. They're also studying in the book of Daniel. Notice, again, our combined Thanksgiving service with Walnut Park will not happen this year. We pray that it might resume next year or sometime even sooner that we can get together. But because of the situation that's going on, that has been canceled at this time. You'll notice there my thought for the week. And again, we just pray that God will bless you today as we look into the Word. Are there any other announcements that we may have today that need to be shared that are not in the bulletin? Okay, well, at this time, again, we don't do a collection on offerings, but there are receptacles in the back as God has led you to give. But we are going to pray at this time, again, for God to bless the giving and the hearts that have given it. And also just a time of meditation before we go into the rest of our service this morning. So would you join me in prayer? And then we'll have a little time to meditate about the theme today, which revolves around Veterans Day. Let's pray together. Father, we come today again before your throne. We come today with boldness, not on anything that we have done, but on what you have done that has guaranteed us access before the throne of your Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're there mediating, you and the Holy Spirit, before your throne, your Father's throne. And we ask today, Lord, that our prayers might be heartfelt and that they would again be brought before the throne in a way that pleases Almighty God. We think now, Lord, at this opportunity to give, and we know here at Fruitland, Lord, we try to practice exactly what your word says, that this is something that is between you and the believer. And as we have been prospered and with a heart of hilarity or cheerfulness, Lord, as those have been led to give, we pray that you would bless both the gift and the giver, that it would be used for the furtherance of your work, Lord, and to bring you honor and glory. Now, Lord, prepare our hearts as we meditate here for a few moments before we go into our message today and for the music to follow. May your spirit be active today in the hearts of people, and may he apply the word to our hearts and empower the speaker. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, and thank you, ladies. This time, Barb Sulzberger is going to favor us with a special. And thank you, Barb, in advance for that. Amen. Thank you, Barb. Appreciate that very much, Barb. I just jotted down here briefly the three things in that tunes in that medley. Our God, our help in ages past, God of our fathers, and my country, 'tis of thee. So very appropriate today on Veterans Day. And thank you, Barb, for presenting those to us this morning. Just a word today as well. As you noticed, Governor Reynolds has enacted a mandate, I guess is a word for it, from Des Moines about gatherings over 25, which even this morning that takes us over that here, which we're thankful for everyone that's here. And by the way, welcome visitors. But I just want to say this. We are aware of our religious freedoms that are under attack and the constitutional rights that we have, but I don't believe that as of yet, asking for us to wear a mask is something that's out of the guidelines. It's going to infringe upon our opportunity to worship God today freely. So we do ask as best you can that we comply with that. Some of you may wonder, why are you not wearing yours? I do, but I can't with this contraption. And so it might be kind of muffled if I try to speak without it. But we do know that there is a rise in this illness. So we need to operate biblically toward that. And I encourage all of us to investigate again how we respond to that. And we certainly know there's many of our number that are not coming out. And some are under quarantine today. But we also respect those that are willing to be here. So this building is open. As of yet, we still have those freedoms. And we'll trust God that those will be preserved. And that's the point of our message today. Now, it is Veterans Day Sunday recognition. We had a very nice service down at the cemetery. But this morning, I'd like all of our vets that are present, we have several in our congregation, some that are here to stand this morning. We want to recognize you. Dean, you're a vet. We only have one with us this morning, but Dean Naylor and Josh, two with us. What branches did you guys serve in?
Army National Guard.
Okay, Dean was National Guard, and Josh, same?
Iowa National Guard.
Well, I think we need to give these gentlemen a round of applause. Thank you, guys, for what you've done. Amen. And you know, the real thing is, folks, when these guys took their affirmation of standing for the United States of America, they took the affirmation to defend and protect the Constitution. And I'll tell you what, that's where it all comes down to, folks. If we allow our Constitution to be nullified or to be changed in a way that restricts our freedoms, that's going to be a very sad day in America. And don't be surprised if that comes about. And my friends, it's not just because of our election. You know that I don't preach politics here, but I preach the Bible. And the Bible talks a lot about that. But folks, our freedoms have been under attack in America for a long time. And we need to be very careful how we relinquish those, that we not relinquish those. And it's very important that we have a military force. And I'm going to address that this morning here in our message. Again, welcome to one and all. If you're visiting today, put yourself at ease. We're just glad you're here. Sit back, listen to the message, let God speak to your heart today, and pray for the old pastor up here as I deliver it. And, well, I'm getting there, Jane, but we'll leave that in God's hands. But the title of our message today is 37 Mighty Men of David, and our text is found in 2 Samuel 23, this is a Veterans Day message for this year. And thanks again to all who have served or who may yet potentially serve someday to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States of America. Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to get down to business. Our Father in heaven, thanks again for the freedoms that you have given to mankind. We're there in the Garden of Eden. You've given man a free will. You've given man a choice. You don't force yourself on any of us, Father. You just love us. You tell us your will. And even then, Lord, we went astray back in the Garden of Eden. And because of that, we still are tainted by that sin and that separation that came from that. But we thank you today that you mediated that deficiency in man through the sufficiency of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He's the one that can bring us back through his sacrifice as the sinless one for the sinner, into fellowship with you, Father in heaven. Now, Lord, we recognize today that you do not view nations as a great thing. You are the one that is great. In fact, you say in Isaiah 55 that nations are as a drop in the bucket.
Things change, things come and go, but your liberty, Lord, that you granted to mankind is an ever-present responsibility that mankind has. And so today, Lord, as we do thank you for the United States and for those that have served to defend and protect these freedoms that are constitutionally guaranteed, we ask, Lord, that you would help America in her time of need. And Father, that we would be those that are biblically governed and have a biblical mindset so that we know what your will is and that we would be active prayers and workers, Lord, for you. This is not the time for the church to die, but it's the time for the church to rise. And Lord, I'm reminded of the churches there in Revelation, the seven churches. Smyrna was one that you had no condemnation for, yet they were under terrible duress. And of course, Philadelphia, you had no condemnation for. They were the church that precedes our day, Laodicea, that was active in the mission field. Lord, help us to get a glimpse of both of those. We may be in the Laodicean age, but we don't have to be Laodicean in our lives and here at Fruitland, Lord. We can continue to stand for you and trust you for the outcome. Now, Lord, we're going to look into a little history here about David and some of the men that served in the military in Israel back in his time. We pray, Lord, David was a leader who was imperfect, yet he was used of you and he was in tune with you. And I pray that we would see that today, Lord, but also for those faithful servants that he had, and there are some that are listed here today that helped to defend and protect the nation of Israel, and to see your will be done there, Lord, as you work through that nation that you dearly love that strayed from you. Now, Lord, I'm the weak link in this chain. I pray you'll help me today to bring this message forth, and that it'll be something that's for your glory, Lord, and that it'll be beneficial for the hearers this day and through the work of the Spirit. And Lord, I need your help, as always, more than ever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, last Wednesday we celebrated the 101st commemoration of a day that started out originally as Armistice Day, or now is called Veterans Day. And my friends, a strong military is conducive to the prevention of tyranny. Never forget that. It is conducive to the prevention of tyranny in a nation of a people if it is governed by the hand of Almighty God through the leadership that is determined to follow the tenets of God and his ordained liberty or free will and choice that he's given us for any given people. And that's an important thing, my friends. You know, our Constitution was not written for a people that are wayward and apart from God. It was written for people that honored the God of the Bible. And my friends, that is the biggest danger when we lose our grounding in God's Word. And let me just say again, Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He ordained the Word of God. And my friends, it's not going to change. But if we fail to honor God, and I believe we have in our nation to a great extent, we will reap the consequences, no matter how strong our military is. But a nation that walks with Almighty God is in need of a military presence, again, to defend those freedoms that we have and to see those preserved if it's used in the right way. Well, I believe that America has been such a nation because of God's ordination. In other words, he allowed it. And the fact that we have the rule of law in our Constitution that is exercised under the authority of God, and never forget, under his grace, folks. It's all by his grace. The experiment known as the United States has some history, right? Yeah. And heroism in its day, and there are many. And I was just doing a little research this week. I could stand up here for an hour and not begin to touch those that have been deemed heroes in the service of the United States of America. Now, let me just say this. I'm always one who teaches we don't follow men, we follow God. Amen. And we always ought to be very much not taking a lot of pride in what people do, but we take solace in what God has done, amen? And just like I mentioned, by his grace. But there are a lot of names that could be mentioned. I'm going to give you just a few here this morning, and you may have others. But there were four presidents that, again, are declared as heroes in our history because they were actually those that took place in combat and did heroic acts. I'm going to give you those four. George Washington, our first president. U.S. or Ulysses S. Grant during the Civil War. Teddy Roosevelt, And that's the Spanish-American War and Harry Truman, H.S. Truman, in World War I. And these men did deserve that proclamation as a hero because they did some heroic acts in the service of the country. Those are the four presidents. There are other presidents that have served. Also, I just want to throw out a few other names randomly, and I know someone's going to say, well, that's not who I would have picked, John. And I'm going to say, go pick some more, because there's a long list. But just a few names that you might recognize here this morning. What about a guy named General George S. Patton? Kim's Uncle Dale served under him in the Ardennes in World War II, Battle of the Bulge. Uncle Dale Niles was in that. He's long departed. What about a guy named Douglas MacArthur? Yeah, you know what? If we'd have listened to Douglas MacArthur back in those days, if Truman would have, we wouldn't have the problem with China today that we have. Because he wanted to take them out. Well, he was already halfway there, and he got called back. We got another guy here named Davy Crockett. I'm just throwing a few out to you. Younger people don't even know about Davy Crockett, but for some of us olders, us old gummers, we know about the story of Davy Crockett. And how about a guy named Audie Murphy? The most decorated World War II veteran, 24 decorations for bravery, lived from 1924 through 71. And just a random pick from the Afghan War. By the way, we've lost a lot of service people over in Afghanistan, in the Middle East. And this is just a random pick as I went through. A guy named Ryan Pitts, a staff sergeant, and he was awarded the Medal of Honor on July 12, 2001, from the Afghanistan War. And folks, you can look these up. The list goes on and on. There's been a lot of people that have laid their lives on the line for the thing that you guys took when you went. And by the way, you're one of, John, why didn't you serve? Well, I was very fortunate in the fact that the Vietnam War had ended when I was getting out of school, and there was a three-year window when no one even had to sign up. So that's where I fall and all that. But bottom line, you guys took a, I don't like to use the word oath because the Bible talks about swearing. And that is why also, when you take that, you can also call it an affirmation, just meaning that you are strongly going to support that. But you were to do what? To defend and protect the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So never forget that. That's what is called upon for people that are involved in the service. We gave you guys a hand, didn't we? Yes, we did. Okay. You guys got to help me because I'm getting a little bit... You'll never believe this week. I ordered a special screw for a drill that I had. There was one left in stock at the place I ordered it from, and they shipped it. But Kim told me the other day, that screw came. And I said, okay. And she said, but I don't know what I did with it. She searched yesterday. Then I got to thinking, did she give that to me and I laid it in my pickup on the dash? Some of you have seen my pickup in the dash. One time I was in a little minor incident where I took a pretty hard hit with the pickup. Not an accident, but I could see all the stuff on my dash. It raised up about a foot before it settled down. But turns out that neither one of us know what we're talking about. Because Kim looked it up this morning on my email, and it says it wasn't even shipped till Friday. So this is the kind of frame of mind that Kim and I are in these days. So have mercy on us and help us, O Lord. But that's your crazy old pastor up here, all right? Maybe I'm the one that's missing the screw, literally, yeah. Anyway, as you may have noted, some of our military heroes have gone on to be our leaders politically. What do you think about that in general? I like it. I like someone that's been involved in this in a real way before they send our people into harm's way because they know what's going on. But anyway, I think that's a good thing. I think we as a nation appreciate that and that our leaders have been there and done that when they send our forces again into combat. I believe there is a precedence biblically to honor the military forces of a nation that ascribes to God's principles for mankind and opposes evil. And because of our Constitution's recognition of those, it is appropriate to recognize all those that protect and defend those God-given rights and freedoms. This morning, a gleaning for useful recognition of 37 mighty men who stood up for Israel and God's program under King David, found in 2 Samuel 23. So if you have your paper Bibles or a device, let's go there this morning. We'll move through this rapidly. Someone call a halt to things if it goes too long. But it's interesting to note here in the history of Israel that David, again, singled out 37 men in this case. Now, I just want to tell you this, and we're going to start with verse 1, and I'll give you a little background about all this. But 2 Samuel 23 also correlates with Psalm 18, if you ever want to read that. And it is one of the last, or later, at least later, records of King David. And he recognizes 37 mighty men. There is actually a case, though, if you count through that in Scripture, for 55. But in this text here that we're going to look at today, the number is 37 that are listed in a category as mighty men of Israel during the kingship of David. Even though David had insurrections, did David have trouble in his governance in Israel? Yeah, he had insurrections. What was the biggest one, probably? His own son, Absalom, that turned against him. And this text that we're going to look at this morning comes toward the end of David's kingship, but you know, not long before that, he just was restored by God's grace again, but at the expense of his son. You can read back to that tragic thing that took place with a half-brother of Absalom, one of David's other sons, and a daughter. And I won't go into that further this morning, but it's there. And David was at fault in the way he operated, okay, with his son. But in the end, his son Absalom tried to take the kingdom, and Absalom, again, was killed by Joab, one of David's servants. By the way, never grow your hair long and don't ride on a mule under an oak tree if you're running from the king, okay? That's what happened. Sad thing. You can read about that. And David never really recovered from that. But anyway, today, this text, this did not come from David's hand, okay? But it was recorded. Very likely, who wrote the book of 2 Samuel would be either Nathan the prophet, the one that confronted David about his sin with Bathsheba, or another guy named Gad. And so you can look into that. It's not important today necessarily, but I believe it is God's inspired word, and it has prophet. And I believe it is exactly appropriate for Veterans Day. And so we find out here in verse 1 that David was appointed by God's divine will and authority. We find this. It says, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said." So these words are attributed to David, and God's divine appointment of David into that position, as we would read through the history of him in Scripture, is well documented. That again, God never wanted his predecessor to even be on the throne. He put up with it for a while, but David was his anointed. And so you'll recall that he had Samuel go out and anoint him, and David became a young king. He was the guy that went out and stood up for God. God stood for him, and he whipped old Goliath, right? Yeah. And David was a brave man for God, and he was a good leader, even though he made mistakes. But that's a fact with all people, folks. They're going to make mistakes. And whoever the future leader is of the United States, however this all shakes out, let me tell you, they're going to make mistakes. But don't give up yet today, because you know what? God can still change the hearts of a leader. And I'll tell you what, we need to always be praying for our leadership, no matter who they are, because they're going to be faulty, you know, but God can use them. And so never count God out. That's the main thing we want to remember. Well, let's go on and just pick up a few of these things about leadership before we go into the men. Notice in verse 2, what was the case here? "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." Folks, this is so important as a national leader, and as we talk today about the military and Veterans Day. But the thing about David, and folks, let's face it, some of our leaders in America have not been under the control of the Holy Spirit. I'm not judging their salvation. That's between them and God. I don't have that divine... what's the word I'm looking for? I can't judge them. I can make assessments about that and wonder, but truly only they and God know. But we know one thing about David. He was under the control of the Spirit, and specifically his tongue. And that's what we find there in verse 2. And let me just say this, folks. The tongue is the tough thing to control. You read the book of James, read all through the Scriptures. You'll know a lot about a person by how their tongue is handled. Amen? Yeah. Hey, you can respond to me this morning. It's great. But absolutely. But David was a guy, it's recorded that he had a ruddy complexion. He was a little bit of a shorter guy, but he was a guy that probably had a hot temper. And you can make a case for that. But it says here that his tongue was under the control of the Holy Spirit because the Lord, through the Spirit, spoke to the writer here, and his word was in his tongue, it says here. Down at verse 3, another thing that we find about great leaders that are ahead of these mighty men, and I believe these men served David because he did have these qualities, and that's so important for our leaders today. You know, it's easier to follow someone that has the right qualities than to follow someone that doesn't. Amen? Verse 3, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. If you're dealing with a con artist, it's hard to follow him, folks. If you're dealing with someone who's under the control of Satan, it's hard to follow him. But in David's case here, he was a man after God's own heart. David, here's the thing about this verse 3. David listened to God's mandates that he must rule justly and in reverence to God to be an effective leader of men. That's a very important thing, my friends, when we talk about people that are going to follow a distinct leader. Verse 4, and he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. You see, folks, I'm going to tell you the way it is. A lot of the stuff I've seen happen in America for a long time makes me sick. It's not clean, folks. It's dirty. And it's evil. But here's what happened with David. David's leadership was fresh, and God wanted it to be fresh and appealing to his people for God's glory. I pray that God will raise up a leader in America, you know, that will ascribe to that yet in the future, however he brings things to be. And again, we should not be surprised at anything that goes on today, because God's words told us. We've had 2,000 years to figure it out, folks. And he's been telling us, but we need someone who is fresh and who is appealing to the truth and to the things of God in a position of leadership. David was fresh and he was appealing to his people, but not for his own doing, but for the glory of God. Verse 5, we read, although my house be not so with God, David was telling us what there? I'm not perfect. My government is not perfect. I have problems, and those are documented in Scripture. There were mistakes that David made that were costly, weren't there? Many mistakes. We won't go into all those today, but you can. You can investigate that. He says, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. And here's what I believe David was meant there. David admitted his imperfections and attributed God's grace and mercy and hand of blessing on his leadership, which is the throne of David. By the way, David's throne is a perpetual throne. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule on the throne of David, his father. This was an ordained thing here that has messianic or the Christ's attributes that are going to be coming upon this line of ruling on the throne of David, and that's Jesus, that was sure, and he was wholeheartedly committed to God for his salvation and for his ambition. You see, David was a man after God's heart. He didn't get it all right, but he had the right attitude toward God. Even, he says, I'm going to be committed to God if there is what? No prosperity under his leadership. You see there that in that verse? He said, no matter what. You know, I tell you, folks, that's where I'm at today with the church, with Fruitland Baptist Church. Now, I don't run Fruitland Baptist Church. This is a congregationally governed church under the authority of the Word of God. But you know what? I'm not all shaken about what may happen in the future, because I'm going to stay here. I don't necessarily mean you can get rid of me, but I'm staying with the Word of God. And we're going to stay just like we always have with God. You know, we cannot go with every whim and every wave of the ocean that turns to and fro. We need to stand, and we need to stand with joy and depend on God, just like David, to see what's going to happen, like all the people that followed him. Keep right on going. But, you know, David also had a warning here in verses 6 through 7. He said, but the sons of Belial, Belial is who? And Lyle's not here today. I always joke with him about that. Lyle Stahlheim. The sons of Satan. Yeah, the sons of Satan shall be all of them as thorns thrust away because they cannot be taken with hands. David was warning Israel, and this is a warning to America or any nation that seeks to follow after God. He says this, but the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. God says what through David here? He says, be careful in any of these situations because you're playing with fire. Right? David warned the defenses and the defenders that they would be playing with fire at the behest of Satan during his days. And my friends, it was true. He says in that those verses, he says, we must have a defense of iron. In other words, we have to be ready to defend, again, God and His Word in our lives. But we also, he says, take a spear. We must be on the offense. Because what we are involved in, my friends, just as in David's day with these 37 mighty men, we're involved in war. We're involved in a spiritual war. And he says, you better be careful because when you play with fire, you might get burned. And we better maintain our defense, trusting in God and in His deliverance. But also be ready to what? To take a spear. Yep. And to be ready to go on offense again for the Word of God. Well, there it is, folks, a little history about David's time, some of his last words. I think often we ought to listen to what the last words were of many people. Because you know what? I'll just, you can use any of you as an example. You might have been involved in a career or may be involved in a career, but you're going to know a lot more at the end of that career than you do at the middle of it. And even more than you did when you started it. Even though sometimes, I don't know how I say this, but I think the more you know, the more dangerous it is. But the fact of the, and the less you understand that you really do know. As you get older, you begin to say, well, I'm not probably as sharp as I once thought I was, okay? And maybe we could get an amen on that from some of us that have some gray hair or no hair. But the fact of the matter is, I like to hear what people say toward the end. And I think David had it exactly right. Now, rest of our time, these 37 guys, are you interested? Amen. By the way, you have to do the mathematics in here a little bit. There's one guy that's unnamed, and I'll show you that, but there's two, Wilton mathematics again. Two groups of three that we're going to be talking about, and then 31, okay? But they were listed, similarly to what we have, what I gave you earlier in the United States, but these were people that stood in David's forces and stood for God. Let's go to that quickly here this morning. The first ones that we want to look at very quickly are the three that are found in verses 8 through 12. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. By the way, that word mighty means what? Heroic. People of valor, yes. Who David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat chief among the captains, the same was Adino. Okay? So he was in a high military rank in David's forces. He was chief, there it says, among the captains. The same was Adino, the Enzite. That's the second guy, or the first guy, excuse me. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Pretty heroic, right? By the way, that wasn't done by him, was it? It was done, well, he did it, but he did it under the what? Strength of God, absolutely. After him, it says in 9, was Eleazar, the son of, come on, this isn't as common of a phrase as it was for some of us back in the 60s, you know, on the playground at school, you dodo, but that's, well, there's actually dodai is the correct Hebrew pronunciation there, but Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defiled the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. So this was a heroic thing when they fought the Philistines. You can look that text up, 1 Chronicles 11:12, and it'll basically say that those guys with David, they preserved a plot of ground. You can look it up and read it. And they single-handedly, heroically defended that. Verse 10, and he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord brought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. So this was a fantastic victory enabled by God. Who do you think about when it says he had the sword up till he was worn out and everything? Moses, absolutely. When his hands were up, they won, and when they were down, and wasn't it her that had to hold up Moses' hands? Yeah, to keep the battle going. Verse 11, and after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harahite. No, the Hararite. Yeah, sorry about that, Jane. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. You know what lentils are, they're like beans. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. There again, God received the credit for this, even though it was accomplished through faithful soldiers and faithful people. So there you have three. Now we go to the next three. This is found in 13 through 23. We're going to go through this quickly because you already know the point of this, right? Sometimes God has people that are going to need to stand up for him and to defend God's authority, okay? And so this is what took place here in Israel. Verse 13, and three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam. Someone help me fill us in on the story there. What was going on with David living in caves? Was he the first caveman or something? He was hiding from Saul, but not really hiding though totally either, right? Because David and his brave men made incursions against Saul. Remember the time? I think this is correct. They went into his the cave where Saul was by night, uncovered his feet, right? David could have whacked Saul, but you know why he didn't do it? He said, he's still the what? He's God's anointed over Israel. I'm not going to touch him in that way. David was a just man. I mean, he wasn't just, but he was justified by God is what I'm saying. He had some scruples, okay, in how he operated. But David here in this text that we're looking at, he's thinking about his home, which was where? Bethlehem. Very good. Yep. And he says, you know, I long for some water out of the well there at Bethlehem. And it says here in 14, and David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. So that's not a good place to go if you're an Israelite, right? To get water for a drink? That's like going up to, what am I going to pick here? Let's say that during a blizzard when there's 30 feet of snow on the ground, you say, I think I'd like to have a Big Mac, so I'm going to McDonald's. You know? Well, I'm not that big on Big Macs, but what I'm saying is you have a desire, and you know that it's crazy even to drive the 10 miles up to McDonald's, because what could happen in 30 feet of snow? It's a poor risk, right? But here's what David's men did. Verse 15 says, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And notice here in 16, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof. He poured it out to the Lord as a sacrifice. But isn't that something? Those guys went right back over to Bethlehem in the midst of a Philistine stronghold when they had it under their control, and they brought the water back to David. Here it is. Verse 17, and he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy? In jeopardy, it says here in the King James, of their lives. Folks, that's what's involved. See, sometimes when we have to take a stand for the Lord and for his principles, we are placed in jeopardy. You know, it's interesting. Most of our military personnel have never seen active combat. But the ones that have, my friends, they can tell you what it's like, and it's like being in jeopardy. And as they say, there are no atheists in foxholes. You know, it's a serious situation. And therefore it says he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Well, here they're listed. Abishai, and one is not, by the way, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah. You can read that. He was chief of the three, or the leader of the squadron. He lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had the name among three, so he was the top dog on the log in that group. And verse 19, was he not most honorable of the three? Well, apparently that was the case, because he was their what? Their captain. Howbeit he attained not unto the first three, meaning that even as heroic as they were not as heroic as the ones that we studied the other group of three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts. He slew two lion-like men in Moab. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Lion men. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in the time of the snow in the winter. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, or a big guy. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down with him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hands and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty men. Now, one of those guys is not mentioned in there, but we know there were three. Okay, so our tally, 6. 3 plus 3 equals 6, right? 6. Now, I'm not going to go through the next tier, but just realize this. These three men, just to recap what we studied there in 13 through 23, there was bravery and heroism involved in the water. Again, Abishai, he was the leader that of the three that killed 300. And Benaiah was the guy that took on the lion men of Moab and slew the Egyptian and fought a lion in a pit and made a name for himself, a man of valor and bravery. So that brings us to the last 37 men. And I know you're all saying, well, I bet he's going to go through those men and we're going to be late for dinner. Kim, what's in the oven today? Pork chops. I hope I heard you right on that, because we'll get home and it'll be steak. Or no. You are? Well, you better talk to Kim about that. But you're welcome, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Kim will deal with that. She deals with the food end of things. She prepares it. I consume it. Okay? No, I'm not going to go through all the 37 mighty men, but you can, because I know many of you are just chomping at the bit to get home and look through that text. I hope you are, though, because there's some reasons. It doesn't tell what any of them did. But it says there are 31 more names, including the last verse of that text. Someone take a look at it. Who was it? Uriah the Hittite. What's the big deal about Uriah the Hittite? David indirectly had him killed because of his sin with his wife. He took his wife Bathsheba and committed adultery. And David, here's one of the sad things about David, even as a man of God. And folks, let's face it today. We as humans have a propensity to have this happen, where we disobey God and we do devious things, because Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is what? Deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Meaning we don't know how far down we could go. By God's grace, he'll help us to stand and stay pure to him. But David had Uriah. He had him killed. I mean, he didn't do it himself, but he sent him into the battle where he was certain to be killed. And that's a sad thing, but it shows what? That Uriah was one of his mighty men. 31 extra guys there. And anyway, Uriah the Hittite, who David had placed into battle to be killed to cover his sin of adultery with his wife Bathsheba, but he was still listed. David listed him, didn't he? Uriah, by the way, was a good man. If you read that text of what took place there, he was a very just man. He wouldn't even go to be with his wife when David tried to cover it up. He said, no, I'm not going to do that, because my kindred is out on the battlefield fighting, and I'm not going to go to be with my wife. He slept outside. You can check all that out. But David still listed him here, and I give him credit for that. Now, here's the conclusion. Hebrews 11. Tell me what that's all about. The Great Hall of Faith. And you know what? Scripture's completed. The canon of Scripture's completed. We have everything we need to know, but I still believe God's adding to that Scripture. I don't have the liberty to say that, but I think God knows every one of us in here today where we stand for him. And whether we stand for him, amen? Amen. And he certainly knows whether or not we know him as our Savior. He knows these things. But folks, it lists names and unnamed persons that were heroes for God. Amen, right? It does, doesn't it? Some that were sustained after valiant acts, and some that lost their lives. Now, Veterans Day isn't necessarily a day to memorialize those that lost their lives for the United States in the defense of our Constitution. But it is a day to list all that served. And that's the main thing we want to understand this morning. But folks, as David well said to the mighty men of Israel, we are under fire in the war against Satan. Are we? You believe that this morning? The war is won, but the battle rages. That's right. Christ won the war, but the battles are still going on. Just so we understand that, though, this morning, folks, to be in that hall of faith, and I believe God's still adding to it, He hasn't put it in Scripture, but He knows, and you know and I know, that we're at war against Satan. And his advice that David gave there is that we need to be fenced with iron and carry the staff of a spear. How will all of us be evaluated and remembered? You ever thought about that? I know I can express to you I'll have many shortcomings. But you know as well as I do what I've told you over the years. Some people are called to be great soul winners. Others are called to be great orators. And many other things by God. I always have believed this, that God called me to defend His faith. To stand in the dark days for God and His Word. You have that same calling, folks. It is in an individual sense, if you're saved here this morning, God has a specific purpose for you to fulfill. And we're being shot at, folks. We're playing with fire. But the fact of the matter is, we will be evaluated, more on that again next Sunday, and we'll be remembered, whether named or unnamed, in the Lord's army. Amen. So I ask us this morning in conclusion that today, where are you at in His army today? Are you AWOL? Means what, guys? Hiding out, on the run, shirking your duties. Are you a deserter? I know we got the pandemic and all that, and we got a lot of empty seats this morning, but there could be some people that are deserters. That's why they're not here today. They're not engaged. We know we have a whole community. By the way, there are people in Fruitland that do go to some other churches. But let's lay it on the line today. The bulk of this community, and every community, wants nothing to do with God. Amen. Until what? Until they need Him in the foxhole. Let me just tell us, though, in case we don't. We need Him all the time. Amen. I'm needy. I'm insufficient. I'm deficient. I need You, Lord. Well, a deserter. What about a slacker? You know what a slacker is? One that makes a show of things but doesn't do anything. That's right, Jane. You know, it used to be that we had a law in America called treason. A treasonist is a what? A traitor. I firmly believe that's a possibility. Could even be with someone here today. I don't know your life. I mean, I know most of you, somewhat at least. But a traitor, you know? Are you one who is willing to follow our leader Jesus today into battle? By the way, there's a big battle coming, folks. But you know what? Jesus is going to win it on His own, but we'll be with Him. That's what we're going to sing about here in just a minute. It's a battle of Armageddon. But Jesus is going to defeat the forces of Satan with the sword that comes out of His mouth, with His Word. Are you on His team this morning? Something to think about, folks. Are we there to go with Him into victory? And then I'll ask you today, too, maybe if you're here, I'm using the terminology unsaved. What I mean by that is you have not been delivered by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, into a personal relationship with Him and had your sins forgiven, and know that you're now what? headed into the being in the family of God in heaven for headed for eternity with Him in heaven. And all the events that we talked about last week and will next week. By the way, if you're visiting today, this is an interlude sermon in a series on Veterans Day. So have you ever joined the Lord's family and His army? There may be some that are still considering. Let me tell you something, folks. What God has to say in this book, it's His love letter. If you'll open your heart to it, the Spirit will deliver it to you. God wants you and His family today. That's why Jesus went to the cross. God in the flesh. I love. Yeah. So here's my last questions here. What will be your legacy as a veteran in Jesus, the successor to David's throne in history? We're thinking about today. Here's my last phrase. May this be a day of decision and confirmation in your life. Jesus is waiting. Amen. Now, it's on the screen, but we're going to sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic today. We're just going to sing the first verse, 783. Actually, let's sing the first and the last. It's on the screen for you today, but you know, this is a day to consider what I just mentioned. What's going to be your situation as you respond to the Lord Jesus Christ today? Are you ready to go into battle with Him? Are you in battle with Him? Are you prepared? Have you received Him as your Savior? Today is a day that you can deal with the Lord in your seat. By the way, there's no dealing with Him. That's an improper statement. But you can approach the Lord today through His grace and His Word and the response of your life. But He's waiting, but He's also waiting for people to publicly stand out like these mighty men. Nothing wrong with coming forward, folks. I can't save you, but I can show you, and others here can too. If you're struggling today, it's good to know as we leave today where you stand. Amen? Let's sing it together. One and five. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Hath loosed the fateful lightning of His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Stanza five. Now remember this. This is Jesus Christ, the one who's the victor to come over us. I know it may not be on the screen, but we're going to sing it anyway. You'll remember it. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in His bosom that transfigures you and me. As He died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. I'll be up to talk to you in a minute. Yeah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Matt Swanson, would you close us in prayer? By the way, today, I'll greet you with an elbow bump, but I won't shake today. But Lord bless you, and have a good afternoon, and hopefully we'll see some of you tonight.